for who has resisted his will? And as Paul says, no, O man, who are you that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Because, as I've said many times, if he didn't make you thus, he would have made something else. I mean, if God changed me just a little bit, if he had just done, a different conscious being would have arisen. And you know this is true because even in the moment of our conception, there's something different because twins don't come out with one consciousness. They don't come out as one person, though they're identical physically. How much more so shall I be different if God were to change something in me before I was born? Now, I want to be a different person. I don't want to be the person I originally started out to be. I want to be changed. I want to be a different person. But I do want to be the same consciousness. I do want to be the same being. By questioning the way we are created, we are questioning our creation. We are questioning our existence. If we are the way we are, that's because that's what we are. God is just in all his works. He is justified because what we are defined as, we are liable for. So if they receive not Christ, and by nature we're not receptive to him, it doesn't mean that God owes them something more. God doesn't owe anyone anything. As he could judge Sodom at that moment when Sodom was ripe for judgment, so he can judge us at any time. It is because of his grace, because of his goodness, that God even considers granting man eternal life, any man. And even without granting eternal life to any of us, he's still good. Now, we may not feel he's good, but I suppose you could say an ant doesn't think he's very good. Because an ant doesn't get much out of life, does it? An ant is just a slave to its collective consciousness or whatever. It's a slave to its collective organism. You say, but we're more, we're something special. Only because God made us something special. You don't really consider that nothing is required. None of this is required. None of this is necessary. Our existence, this world, any of it. The word hell here in verse 15 is Hades, which means the grave. It's not the same as saying, as he has another place where he uses the word Gehenna, which refers to the place of eternal destruction, but the grave is the place of death. And so there is a bit of an overlap there, but it's just unfortunate they always translate it hell, so you can't distinguish the two. The grave is the place of death, and death is eternal destruction. But there is a fiery place, which is Gehenna. Hades is never referred to as with fire, except in one place, but that is not a place spoken of in doctrine, but rather a parable. And we'll be coming up on that soon in Luke. And I've been promising it since the beginning of the Gospels. But I assure you, Jesus Christ's teaching is always consistent concerning the dead. Verse 16 had said, and this is just so stark in Christ's philosophy, that whoever hears you hears me. If you're speaking for him, if you're truly speaking in his name, in honesty, without corrupting the word of God, if you're speaking out of his authority, they're hearing Christ. Now, again, this was specifically said to those 70. Anytime Christ, by the Holy Spirit, gives us the truth and gives us something to say and the gospel to preach, and then we speak it, it is Christ speaking. This has a much broader application whenever the conditions are met. Just like these things are true whenever these conditions are met. Meaning that Christ is there, he's giving commands, and then they should do it. Same thing with this, that when Christ is speaking through you, they're hearing Christ, not you. And it is reasonable when we have revelation and understanding to take that point of view, that I speak for Christ. Because all the enemies of Christ are taking that point of view. And therefore, if we consider ourselves his friends, and we are true to his doctrine, there's nothing wrong with us taking the view as well. Except that I don't use it in the sense of I start judging people based on whether or not they hear me. Because I can't judge that. And that would be judging myself. I didn't hear the truth from the beginning. I would be despising the long-suffering of God, which led me to repentance. So I don't want to despise people because they don't hear me. Now, in this case, Jesus is saying outright, he has given the judgment, that if they don't receive you, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom than for them. I don't know if down the road, they are that seed I planted, they didn't receive it, but I don't know what's going on in their heart. Maybe that seed sunk deep into their heart. Maybe that's good soil. Maybe I'm just presumptive. So I don't want to despise someone just because they don't hear me, or just because they despise me. That's why you bless them that curse you. Pray for your enemies. You know, Apostle Paul, I'm sometimes shocked the way people are so negative about Paul these days. And I really think they're just ignorant of his writings and of what Paul really stood for and what he represents in Christ. Something very beautiful. The wisdom that we get through the Spirit of God, through Paul, is what I'm saying when I say, don't despise the long-suffering of God. See, some people, they would just look at this and then say, okay, anyone who despises me because I'm the Son of God needs to be viewed with contempt because they despise God. And you don't know. That's why we turn the other cheek. We pray for our enemies because they could be changed. Like the Apostle Paul. Paul, the enemy, holding the coats of them that stoned Stephen, struck down on the road to Damascus, totally changed, and then preaching the things that he once persecuted. This verse is always true. We may perceive it wrong. You know, we may perceive someone as being despised or despising us, but God may see it in a different light. He may see what they're going to become because of his plan, because of his election. We should not jump to conclusions. In fact, it's because of election that we shouldn't jump to conclusions about people's status. If it's all about choice, well, we see the choice they make. Once they make the choice, that shows what they are, doesn't it? Unless there's some sort of destiny to alter the way we think about things, some coming together of circumstances to alter things, there's no reason anything should change. You know, an object in motion tends to stay in motion. A person set in his ways tends to stay set in his ways until something comes along to jar them out of their complacency. Verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.